Good morning. This morning's reading is taken from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Eudoia and Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, to help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. We pray now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we might understand it and believe it and take it to our hearts. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, it's a very great privilege for me to be taking this service for Annabelle. Miriam and Andrew and Annabelle have become very precious to us at Christchurch. They co-host Equip, which is our group for young adults. We greatly appreciate them. And we want the very best for Annabelle. We want for her a life of prosperity. We want her to succeed. We want her to have great relationships, to do well in her career, to accomplish great things. In the words of verse 9 in our reading, we want the God of peace to be with her. We want God to be with her. I would want nothing less for any of us. And yet, as we look at the world around us, it's very clear life is not easy. Relationships are not always easy. Career, health sometimes go wrong. And so we could go on. What should we be praying for Annabelle if we are to be realistic? This passage from Philippians 4, Philippians is a letter from the Apostle Paul to a church he founded in Philippi some 12 years earlier. The Apostle Paul wrote much of the Bible, and he planted many of the New Testament churches. He has a pastoral relationship with the Philippians. He loves them. He wants the best for them. He is helping them to live as Christians. And he gives us five things to pray for. They're on the backs of your sheets. Good relationships, joy, peace, a healthy mind, a purposeful life. Firstly then, good relationships, verses 2 and 3. On the 12th of April this year, my newspaper informed me the families of five Chinese feminists detained by authorities for picking quarrels have called for their immediate release. The young women were detained on the eve of International Women's Day on March the 8th, which they planned to mark by distributing leaflets and stickers to raise awareness of sexual harassment. The women, aged between 25 and 32, were taken into custody before they had carried out their planned activism. Lawyers said the unusual charge, which carries a prison term of up to 5 years, was added because it would have been difficult to make a criminal case against the women. The charge may also refer to a 2012 campaign by the women called Occupy the Men's Toilets, which led to 4 cities pledging to increase the ratio of lavatories for women. In 2013, they dressed in blood-spattered bridal gowns to draw attention to the issue of domestic violence. This is obviously another example of the injustice of the Chinese regime. These women do not deserve to be detained. They've not been quarrelsome. They've been heroic. They are good women. But here in Philippians 4, we meet some more good women who've also committed their lives to serving a higher purpose. Their names are Euodia and Syntyche. Verse 3, they are loyal fellow workers with the Apostle Paul, the writer of this letter. They've contended at Paul's side, along with someone called Clement and the rest of Paul's team. These are good women. Best of all, end of verse 3, their names are written in the book of life. In other words, they came to a point in their life when they realized that they were sinful, that they had rebelled against God, and they turned away from their sin, and they turned to God. They accepted that Jesus, when he died on the cross, was dying there in their place, taking the punishment for the things they'd done wrong. They'd asked Jesus to be their savior, their rescuer from sin and death and hell. These are good Christian women. But there's one problem in verse 2. They are quarreling. Can you see that? And Paul longs that they should have a good relationship. And we pray for good relationships for Annabelle. How can we enjoy good relationships? Fundamentally, like Paul's friends here, we must come to a point where our names are written in the book of life. We need to recognize that we have ignored God. In fact, we've disobeyed him. We've refused to allow him to be our king. And we need his forgiveness. He gave us life. He gave us everything. We need to restore Jesus to being king of our lives. And when we do that, our relationships should be good. Because I recognize when someone annoys me that I too am a sinner in need of forgiveness. So I can't be too judgmental of them. Second thing to pray for, joy. Verses 4 and 5. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Countryfile presenter Julia Bradbury has told of her heartache after undergoing 5 failed rounds of IVF before finally giving birth to twins at 44. The broadcaster, who already has a 3-year-old son, Zephyr, with partner Gerard Cunningham, had the girls, named Xanthi and Zena, earlier this month. She told Hello magazine, "It's my dream come true, and I feel incredibly lucky. Mother's Day has a special meaning now. I still pinch myself and think, I'm a mother of 3. All the effort, everything we went through as a family, is more than worth it. I had been very happy throughout the pregnancy, but there was always this cautionary shadow on my shoulder that something could go wrong. You don't take anything for granted. The 5 rounds of IVF, the heartaches and failures along the way, and making it through the pregnancy. So the moment I felt the deepest joy was when they were both on my chest and I thought, they've made it. But she says she wishes she'd had children 10 years earlier. That's a lovely story. I'm very pleased for Julia Bradbury. However, many people are not able to have children and they really want them. How are they meant to have joy? Here, Paul commands us to rejoice. And this carries the ring of authority because he is falsely imprisoned in a Roman jail facing execution. He can speak with great authority about joy. And at the risk of repeating himself, it goes back to the previous verse. Having our names written in the book of life, God's book of all those who belong to him. Being put right with God, knowing that God is our Father, that Jesus is our brother, our Savior, our King. When we know these things, we experience great joy. Verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. You can be a gentle person when you are a person of joy. Angry people don't know joy. If I'm seeking my joy in drink or drugs or porn or materialism, I won't be a joyful person. But rather, if I know the end of verse 5, the Lord is near to me, I will have great joy. When the Titanic went down, this hymn was played on the deck. Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer to thee. There in my Father's home, safe and at rest. There in my Saviour's love, perfectly blessed. Age after age to be, nearer, my God, to thee. I wonder, is that your song this morning? Third thing to pray for. Peace. Verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Anxiety can be a crippling illness. We all know something of it. In fact, the Apostle Paul admits in chapter 2, verse 28, that he experienced anxiety. He was a normal person. But he had learned something very profound. There in his Roman jail, he had learned in everything to pray. He would present his needs to God with thanksgiving. There's wonderful power in thanksgiving. It turns our minds from our problems to the God who gives us so much. Paul was able to do this. And when he turned his anxieties into thankful prayer, verse 7, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, the peace of God, which overwhelms the anxiety of a Roman jail, guarded his heart and mind in Christ Jesus. In 1555, Nicholas Ridley was burned at the stake because of his commitment to Christ. On the night before Ridley's execution, his brother offered to remain with him in the prison to keep him company and offer him comfort. Nicholas declined the offer and replied that he meant to go to bed and sleep as quietly as he ever did in his whole life, because he knew the peace of God. Because he knew the peace of God, he could rest in the strength of the everlasting arms of his Lord. And so can we, when we turn anxiety into thankful prayer. Number four, a healthy mind, verse 8. If you suffer from anxiety or depression, it's quite likely your doctor will prescribe for you what is known as CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. And in cognitive behavioral therapy, you learn to challenge wrong thinking. You replace destructive thoughts with positive, constructive thoughts. Verse 8 is the best possible CBT. If you are anxious or depressed, this is how you should use your mind. If you want to stay healthy in your thinking, verse 8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I wonder, does that sum up your thought life? One famous preacher said, "If you could see into my heart, you would spit in my eye." And that's how I feel, really. I'm a failure when it comes to living up to this verse. And I'm fairly certain you are too. Do we dwell on what is true, what is noble, right, pure, lovely, excellent, praiseworthy? The truth is, we like to give our minds to that juicy gossip. We like to fill our minds with trashy novels, filthy humour, pornographic images. We put rubbish into our minds, and therefore we get rubbish out. Our society collectively has a depraved mind, and we've never been more anxious or depressed. We must pray for Annabel to have a healthy mind as she meditates on these wonderful things in verse 8. And finally, let's pray for a purposeful life, verse 9. The most basic question everyone faces in life is, why am I here? What is my purpose? Self-help books suggest that people should look within at their own desires and dreams. But Rick Warren says the starting place must be with God and his eternal purposes for each life. Real meaning and significance comes from understanding and fulfilling God's purposes for putting us on earth. His book, The Purpose-Driven Life, takes the groundbreaking message of the award-winning Purpose-Driven Church and goes deeper, applying it to the lifestyle of individual Christians. This book helps readers understand God's incredible plan for their lives. Warren enables them to see the big picture of what life is all about and begin to live the life God created them to live. The purpose-driven life is a manifesto for Christian living in the 21st century, a lifestyle based on eternal purposes, not cultural values. Using biblical stories and letting the Bible speak for itself, Warren clearly explains God's five purposes for each of us. Now, the purpose-driven life has not been without its critics, but it's one of the most popular Christian books ever written. And that is because it meets a very fundamental need. I need to know that I have a purpose. Annabel needs to know that she has a purpose. I sometimes talk to the unemployed or the newly retired. There are few things worse than being purposeless. I was once unemployed and I absolutely hated it. So how can we find purpose? Verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. The Apostle Paul sets himself up as the exemplar of purpose. Live like me, he says. In other words, live all out for Christ. Paul gave everything up: status, reputation, comfort, affluence. He gave it all up to live for Christ. This is what Christ is calling Annabel to. It's what he's calling each one of us to. I wonder, what is your purpose in life? Career? Possessions? Even relationships? All disappoint. Purpose is found in knowing God through Jesus and then in serving Christ with all our strength. Then the end of verse 9, the God of peace will be with you. Isn't this what we want? So here are five things to pray for Annabel and to pray for ourselves: good relationships, joy, peace, a healthy mind, a purposeful life. Let's pray. Father, again we pray for Annabel, that she will grow into a wonderful Christian for herself, that she will live the Christian life with all the energy and strength that you give her. We pray it for ourselves, Father. We're sorry that so often we're half-hearted in the Christian life. Please forgive us. Help us to be wholehearted from this day forward. And Lord, if there are any here who've not yet discovered Jesus and what it means to be a Christian, please reveal yourself to them, we pray, so that we can all be together in heaven, enjoying you for all eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.